Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're blessed, for sure. Like Greg said, it's really hard for somebody to sit and tell how much they love you in public and how much they appreciate you and all the cool things you do. But I think it's good for our hearts. You know, I think establishing a culture of honor and living and understanding how God, how kingdom valuable honor truly is. I've got this thing going on with me no matter what. There's always an authentic expression and then what I'll call a disingenuous expression. The difference between religion and relationship when we come before the Lord, and a difference between lip service and heartfelt expression. And, I couldn't have been more blessed to hear the heart of people. It moves my heart. And it's part of the reason why over the years, you don't hear me say everybody has to call somebody by their title, you know, pastor this and apostle that and prophet that. Because if it's not in your heart, what good would it do for me to force a name or a tag or something on somebody? Honor and authority, those things that from the throne flow through individuals as we understand them and release them. So I really am honored, I really am blessed, and I really am thankful for what the Lord's been doing here. So let's just pray, and then we've got a couple minutes here. So Father, we just love you, and we thank you for all that you're doing. Lord, we thank you for the power of the name of Jesus and the authority in that name. We thank you today, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and revelation that God allows us to see differently than we would on our own. Allows us to hear, Lord, in the spirit what's going on, and Lord, to walk in a newness of life that comes, Lord, by the birthing of the spirit and by the vision, Lord, of the eyes of the understanding and the eyes of the heart being enlightened. And we thank you for that today in this place in Jesus' name. Amen. So since I don't got a lot of time, I'm going to take a couple things just as a kind of a precursor, I guess. And that is that I felt like the Lord asked me to go back to some foundational scriptures. Last week, I think we shared three. Number one was out of John 15 that said, as the Father has loved me, also I have loved you. Abide in my love. Abide in my love. And that was just kind of the theme of what we're going to be talking about. And that Paul then prayed in Ephesians 3:16. He said that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Because what's going on, the why and the what sometimes have to marry together. The what, when Jacqueline, I believe Jacqueline had a great word. I believe it's the Lord's heart to have authentic relationship in this body. That we desire that. The presence of God is first and foremost. And then authentic, genuine relationship with the body, allowing the body to actually come into their identity and be released. Because the expression of the kingdom of God is no greater than the unity within the local body to receive and to release it. If we're all got agendas, or if we're all just calling ourselves spectators, or if we're all just indifferent, then the body is not healthy. And healthy is what God wants, because healthy breeds healthy. And so part of what in that the why and the what is that I said it last week. I'm going to say it again this week. In the face of unprecedented darkness, God is raising up a generation overcome with fascination by his matchless beauty. A generation in the earth that values God because they've seen the beauty of this man, Jesus, and nothing compares. And they live in such a way that the beauty of Jesus reflects on their life and attracts those who are looking for authentic, real relationship, real connection to God. We carry an aroma, Paul says in one place, that the fragrance of life emanates off of us. This is not a personal thing. This is a what God is doing on the corporate level to all who will be willing to, even as, you know, I don't even talk to these guys before they do, I mean, before they set their worship up, with the very first line today that Mason hit on, I'm laying down all my religion. I'm like, right on, bro. You home run, out of the park. Because we've taken religion in place of relationship because it's more controllable and comfortable. And you know, God is giving us opportunity to make a divine exchange. And this prayer that Paul prays, be rooted and grounded in love. I love that description. To be rooted is to go deeply to draw your life out of something. Okay, and as much as we can theologically or mentally say, I'm rooted in Jesus, it's like, you don't understand. To be rooted takes time. I could probably ask Fritz to give you what it normally takes for something to grow roots, but he will tell you it takes a little while. You got to cut it, you got to trim it, you got to put it somewhere, you got to water it, and you got to let those roots, just because a few sprouts spring out don't mean it's ready to be rooted. It actually has to be, has to have enough, and that's why it says rooted and grounded in love. Rooted means you actually are drawing from the deep places of the love of God, that which is going to bring life forth, and that love is so real, that root system is so good that it says you'll be rooted and grounded, which means you are established in love. The storms of life can't push you over. The offense, the rejection, the assault that the enemy and the world wants to bring on you, it might cause the leaves to blow a little bit. It might cause the branches to bend a little bit, but the roots won't be pulled up because you are firmly rooted and grounded in the love of God. And so to me, he's saying, look, I know you all think you love Jesus, but the truth is you got to let those roots go down deep because I know the storms that are coming. And you know, I called her, I don't know if Carla's still here or not, but you know, she shared so vulnerably from her heart today, and you know, we have a special bond, and you know, it's an unfortunate special bond that we share. But the reality is I probably couldn't be any more thankful for what she said, because she shared from her heart, because we share a common sorrow. But yet, quitting wasn't really an option because of the love of God. There is no, it's not because I'm strong or could, none of that. It's literally, at the end of the day, it's only the love of God that remains. That's it. And if you have nothing, and again, I don't want anybody to have to go through traumas and crisis. I don't want anyone to have to lose their children. I don't want anybody to have to grieve, you know, the loss of a loved one prematurely, or have to go through hardships or broken relationships. But the unfortunate truth is, we all do. And some people get knocked out by it because of this one thing, rooted and grounded in love. Was mental and not at the heart level. Now, I will say this, sometimes it's those moments, those times, those seasons that actually cause us to send our roots down deep. And that's a little bit what I just want to talk about today, because when you're talking about the love of God, the theory of the love of God and the experience of the love of God is quite a bit different. You know, I shared last week, one of the other scriptures I shared was out of Psalm 16:11, and it's a scripture that says, God, talking to God, the psalmist says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Well, we know where Christ is, right? At the right hand of the Father. But he says, you show me the path of life. The truth is, though, we have to choose whether or not we'll walk on that path. And he says that in your presence is fullness of joy, but we have to choose. Will we cultivate a life that's sensitive to the presence of God? I think it's just very, very fitting that he says three things. All of them on their own can stand fine. God will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The right hand of God in Christ. This is what Jesus says about anybody who's saved. This is what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5. He said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away, and all things have become new. So when you look at this passage, and it says, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore, that's saying, in Christ is an abundance of pleasure accessible to those who are willing to mine it. What do you mean mine it? Well, gold miners don't just walk out to the field and go, oh, I'll just pick some gold up. No, they have to dig. They have to struggle. They have to pursue. Where is that vein of gold at? What machinery am I going to use? What manpower? What's it going to take to get the gold out of the ground? And a lot of people just realize this is going to be work. If you ever watched, I was a gold rush. I watched the old gold rush show on television and some of the history of gold mining is they got something called a gold rush. That's where all these people go, hey, there's gold in Alaska. Let's go there. And they start just hiking. This is crazy, okay? They just start going up these, and they realize, they get out there and they die. They go, we had no idea what it was going to take to get the gold. We thought, these guys came back and had bags of gold. We thought, there's just bags of gold waiting for everybody. This is hard work. We quit. But the gold of the love of God that's available in his presence is accessible to all those who will stay on the path, who will walk. And you go, you mine the love of God. Now, again, there's degrees and measures. I don't want to diminish anybody's experience of the love of God because you got saved because you realized God loved you. Scripture says we love him because he first loved us. So there's a revelation of the love of God that we've all encountered. And along the way, like today, I experienced the love of God because of the encouragements and the words that were so kind. But there's experiences and depth of the measures of love of God that none of us have fully tasted and seen yet, except we're invited to. And that, to me, is where God is wanting to take us, wanting to escort us into the pleasures of knowing the love of God that abide at his right hand forevermore. The Father is the author of pleasure. And he saves Christians not just to get us out of the eternity in hell and the sinful bondages that have kept us or the darkness that has enshrouded us, but he also saves us that we might enter into the enjoying of the pleasures he so freely offers. He saved you from inferior pleasures into the joy of superior pleasures. And when I say superior, this is the thing, because it's so much faith, the invisible realm is where they abide, is where they exist. I want to be clear, I'm not saying now that you love Jesus, there's a new house and a new car and a new job. Those things may or may not come, but those are not the superior pleasures I'm talking about. All the blessings and the favor of God on our life is wonderful, but those still are not the superior pleasures. The superior pleasures are deeper. They're at the heart level. They move the heart without the residue of guilt or shame, and they produce joy that cannot be taken away by a man or by a circumstance. You understand? I have a job, I don't have a job. Everything's going well, nothing's going well, doesn't matter. The joy of the Lord that I've discovered in abiding in his love is immovable, unshakable, eternal, real, and available. And they are the foretaste of the full experience of gratification and immeasurable happiness that awaits the Christians in the age to come. We will know the fullness of it in the age that's to come, but right now we see in part. Right now, we partake a little bit of it, but there's a whole lot more available than what most of us are experiencing. And I'm saying, God, I know it's not about trying to work something up, but I'm believing that you've cracked the door open, and I want to get this thing as wide as we can get it. I want as many to know this joy unspeakable. Ephesians 2 says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Paul says in his day, God put this plan into action so that in our day, that's the age to come that Paul was speaking of, I believe, we would grasp and walk out in fullness what it looks like to live in and put on display what the partaking of and enjoying of God's pleasures, the love of God, the exceeding riches of his grace. I don't know if you noticed or not, but people walk around mad all the time. I don't know if you not recognize it, but people are ready to fight over anything. We just got viral videos because people are so full of angst and anger. You know, any minute you want to pop it up, there's like, oh, somebody got mad and hollered at somebody else. Somebody, you know, got road rage. I'm driving down the road the other day in the middle of Cornfield, Illinois, and it says, you know, something like, you know, be calm, stop road rage. I'm in the middle of a cornfield. But it's the road signs that they're putting up because, you know, there's a sense that people are filled with angst. People are ready to go heels at the drop of a hat here, you know. We're just get out of my way. And it's like, you don't understand. All that stuff is on the surface. Now, I'm gonna take a detour here because I rarely talk about what I'm gonna talk about here for the next 30 seconds to a minute. But that is, I know we're right around the time of Halloween, which many people in the Christian realm get really kind of stressed out about because there are witches and warlocks and people who operate in unholy things that are trying to conjure things up, okay? And so we don't put our head in the sand and go, oh, just act like there's nothing out there, but we also don't go, oh, there's just a demon and a boogeyman behind every, you know, bush and everything's, you know, but there's a wisdom that God wants us to embrace, and that is the wisdom of the fruit of the Spirit, okay? Because in the world, there are people regularly influenced by demonic entities. You see it when they go into fits of rage. They may be normal and in their right mind, but when they give their mouth or they give their thoughts or they give their emotions over to someone else, they all of a sudden begin to act like something different. Anybody ever witness anybody like that? Where did that come from? It came from the devil. See, we are in a battle, in a warfare, to decide who will I give my thoughts and my mouth and my emotions to, my hearts to. When we manifest something that's not fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, when those things aren't our go-to, when instead it's rage, anger, jealousy, bitterness, I can tell you, those are like a red flag in the Spirit. Now, I'm not saying everybody who ever manifested any of those things has a demon. I'm just going to get that clear. But those are an invitation to demonic forces to come in and exploit where you're agreeing with them and not with the Lord. Did you just say that? I'm saying if you choose rage when you know you're supposed to have peace, you're inviting the devil to come in and possess that area of your emotions, rage. I go down the list and say lust. You all know that you're not supposed to lust after someone in an unholy, unhealthy manner. But when you give yourself to say, well, it won't hurt a little bit, it's like just sending out a little beacon. Beep, beep, beep. Here's somebody that we can exploit because they're agreeing with who they aren't. They're agreeing with something unholy. I don't want to put the invitation out to the devil, come and mess up my mind, okay? I've done it before. It's gross. Don't want to go back to, I can say it with fear. So the point is, it's not, hey, I'm going to rebuke the devil. This is what the Bible says. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Okay, resist the idea that, oh, I have a right to be angry. I have a right to be fearful. I have a right to be horny, whatever it is. And you go, no. If you want to make sure the devil isn't jacking you around, drawn close to God, in his presence is fullness of joy, resist the devil. Don't give your mouth, don't give your mind, don't give your emotions to something that's ungodly or unholy. This announcement has been brought to you by me. Thank you. I will carry on now. Well, people ask me, you know, where, how do you, what about the devil? Look, I normally don't even talk about the devil unless he gets in my way or, you know, is bothering me because Jesus is so much better. He's so much more glorious. So I'm going to read, you know, I said God wants a generation on the earth that's in the midst of the most chaotic and massively sinful culture who can't be moved, can't be enticed, can't be compromised because they're just fascinated with the beauty of God. This is what he said in Psalm 1. And it's real simple, verse 2 and 3, but it's probably the easiest way to understand. Whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. That speaks of a heart. See, again, God loves the trees and the roots. And the water that the roots are going into are the pleasures of God. And that's where God wants us to live in the pleasures of God, to live in the drinking in of that which he offers at the right hand. And so we're just thankful, I guess, to say that God is for us in this endeavor. If we're mining this gold, God is helping us. You know, most of the time, again, my gold mining analogies, a lot of times these guys go out and they got a claim, you know, a bunch of land, but they got a financier. They got somebody in the back room who's saying, well, you know, I'll finance your heavy equipment. I'll finance, you know, help you buy the land or whatever it is, but I get a cut. And so there's a people out there doing the work, but there's somebody behind them saying, I'll provide what you need to get it done. That's God. He said, if you want to know the riches that are available in Christ, the Father's heart is turned towards us. The Holy Spirit knows that his assignment in our life is take the things which are the Father's and make them known to us. The Holy Spirit's assignment in life is to the spirit of revelation on our hearts to let us see who Jesus is. The riches of his glorious abundance of his table is ours, but we have to say, okay, I will put the shovel in my, I'll dig this out. It comes in our prayer time. It comes when we actually relationally go to the word of God. It comes when we desire him enough that our own shame, our own fear can't keep us from giving our fullness to him when we worship, both in public and in private. Because there's something about surrender that requires us to lay down our reputation, our fear of man, or the idea that this will be weird. It will be. You're worshiping an invisible God that you believe came to earth as a baby, lived a perfect life, died, and was resurrected. He walked on the water. He raised people from the dead. Is that not weird enough already? Let's just go down the line of if it's going to be logical or not. Nothing about what you believe is logical. But we know by faith we understand that God took the things that are made and made them out of the things that are unseen, the things that are seen out of the unseen realm. So we know that. So the idea that you can wrestle in your mind about what is or isn't logical, no. The love of God in abundance is accessible. The beauty of God is the place where when Jesus said, abide in me, he was talking about that. He was talking about that. Well, I'm going to wrap this up because I want to do something. I'm a little different. Mason, Molly. I'm going to do something a little different here this morning. We're going to just invite you into an experiment of abiding for a moment before we run out the door. On Thursday nights, we do this a little bit for a longer period of time. But this is an invitation. Maybe, you know, if you picture yourself like the love of God is this massive lake, okay? And you might have dipped your toes in a little bit and go, this is kind of nice. But you haven't really experienced it much past your ankles. Today, maybe you can go a little deeper, maybe to your knees. If you've been waiting around kind of in your knees, going, I kind of sense the love of God and it touched my heart a little bit, but I know there's more. Then what I'm saying is today, maybe you'll go in just a little deeper at the waist level. And quite frankly, you may feel like you've just been drenched in the love of God. You're just overwhelmed. The love of God is just, you're just breathing it all in. Guess what? There's still more. Okay? So wherever, whatever, however, the love of God experience that you have is, today we're just going to say, do you trust that if we ask the Holy Spirit, that he'll deepen our encounter. That's what we're going to do. Okay? So if this sounds weird to you, it is. But you're in a safe place to do weird things. you're in a safe place to do weird things. This is the family of God. The Holy Spirit, I believe, very clearly would like for you to experience deeper measures of his love. And so perhaps today, and I'll just say it to you this way, when we're gathered together in his name, there's a corporate pull that could really help those who don't know how to do this that you may not be able to experience when you're all by yourself. Now, there's some people that are very good by themselves, but others, they have to have that experience when we're together so then they can go back in their prayer closet and say, God, what we did there, I want to do that again. So I promise you, I'll get you out of here in just a few minutes. I know the holy hour is upon us, but we're just going to wait here. And yeah, you guys, and I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes and just take a minute here. Holy Spirit, we thank you right now. That you are our chaperone into the deeper things. Lord, we want to be rooted and grounded in your love. Lord, we want to have experiential knowledge, not just theological information. Lord, not just an emotion. God, we just set ourselves apart right now. That we would experience a freshness and a newness of how you feel about us today. Jesus, we love you, and we want to know this love. And we're asking that you would take us deeper. Experiencing the pleasures at your right hand.
Take me back to the garden. Lead me back to the moment I heard your voice. Take me back to the dead things come. so good to know you are my friend. This is where I'm meant to be.
Greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. That is exactly what you did for us. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you would minister to us the love of Christ, that you would minister to us the love of the Father found in Jesus, or that you would soften the dry ground, or that you would tenderize the hardness, that you would refresh us and renew us in the joy of our salvation and the pleasures that are at your right hand. Just pray right now, God, for great grace to discover in your word treasures fresh and new. Great grace, Lord, to experience deeper places of encounter and worship. Lord, I thank you. You escort us by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Authentic connections in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm just going to let these guys play for a little bit. We'll just have what I call a soft departure today. If you want to hang around a little bit, I'm going to offer prayer up to the front. There's something that you want to receive prayer for. I invite you to come forward. If you want to linger for a while, just as we just allow the Holy Spirit to refresh and to touch us, you're welcome to do that. And if it's time for you to go, then God bless you on your way out. We're glad you're here today. We're so blessed that we get to see your smiling faces and join together in worship. I'm going to pray, and then you can be dismissed accordingly. Father, I just thank you today for what you're doing in our midst. Thank you for all those things, God, that you have on your heart for us. And Lord, that you can minister individually to each one. Lord, I thank you today that as we go, Lord, something that transpired today, Lord, we can take with us. Lord, to refresh us and to renew us and to walk out our salvation. Lord, to carry your light to dark places, Lord, and to grow in the areas, Lord, that you're highlighting even now in this season. Lord, we praise you, we bless you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open. And like I said, if you want to linger, you're welcome to. If you want to receive prayer, you can come forward. Have a great day.